This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, Saturdays are just a divine day.
Well, they really are. It's I think it should be a national holiday every Saturday.
You know, I think that'd be a good idea. You do come up with some good ideas sometimes.
It's not the best idea, because if it was really good, we would make like Friday a national holiday. That would be better.
And just carry on Friday, Saturday, huh?
Exactly. Yes.
Wow. Well, you know, if they don't quit putting up new federal holidays, we're not going to be working anytime. Do you realize that?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I thought we had enough federal holidays now, but now they're working on Juneteenth. Yeah. Go make that a federal holiday. Hmm. How many federal holidays do we have? Do you know?
12.
Okay. So it'll be uneven.
I mean, you don't want it
13.
So maybe we should make Friday and Saturday a national holiday.
I like the way you think. I mean, you know, but it seems to me like every time I'm really busy getting a lot of things done, Monday's a holiday.
Yeah.
Monday's a federal holiday. Oh, can we go ahead and leave on Friday? I mean, once they know Monday's holiday, they're trying to get out on Friday to make it a long weekend.
Oh, yes. You have to get as much out of it as possible. Those are the rules.
Yeah. And, you know, most of this started where federal workers could have an extra day.
Yeah.
And look what it's bloomed into.
Yeah. I don't think you can have enough. See, it's all about perspective. See, some of us try to squeeze out as many extra holidays as possible, but you've got things to do. You've got business to run, and it doesn't stop for holidays or Saturday or Sunday or any other day. So you've got to keep the machine rolling.
Everybody wants to have all these holidays, and all the businesses are thinking, oh, my gosh, it just, you know, we don't get everything done. And here we are trying to get all this done. Uh-oh, stop, you got another holiday. You know? And employees love holidays.
Yes, yes, they do.
They love being paid that federal holiday.
Mm-hmm, free day
and
off.
And they go to the lake or they go somewhere.
Yes, and if you can make a three-day weekend into a four-day weekend, you've essentially doubled a Saturday and Sunday.
There you go. I mean, it's an amazing thing, isn't it?
It really is. The sad thing is, or maybe it's a good, I don't know, it depends on how you look at it, but if some businesses start to kind of, you know, slow down, like on Friday afternoon, especially if you have the following Monday off, then a lot of places will start to kind of, you know, wind down a little bit. So then less gets done, and so the more less gets done, then the more they kind of push that line a little bit further. Before you know it, Friday, they're just going to, like, instead of trying to eke out a couple extra hours, they may just, you know, say, well, you know, Friday, it's just kind of a waste day anyway because everybody else is closed, so we'll just close too.
Mm-hmm. They're always saying that to me. Well, we can't get a hold of anybody. Everybody's out of their office.
I do it.
Yeah, I mean, I get that a lot. When there's a federal holiday coming up, they say, well, you know, on Friday, well, everybody's already gone. We can't get anything done.
It's the game.
It is a game, and they play it well, let me tell you.
But you are too wise to let anybody get away with nonsense.
I'm trying to do my best to not put up with that because, you know, like you said, we are running a business. We've got things to do. We've got clients that are calling in needing statements this time of year, and we're short one person, so getting the statements out, the ones that asked for it, we were late on all of them, and then we're on time. I mean, so, you know, it's always something new. I guess every company deals with that. If things are just running real smooth, and someone says, oh, my gosh, I got a better offer. You know, I got this extra money. I'm just going to quit, just like that, you know?
Man.
And you give them good benefits. You try to do the right thing. But that's just part of our world.
It is. It really is. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And you're right. That is kind of the world that we live in. There's you know, sometimes it's like, I remember a long, long time ago, you know, people, if they you know, had to go to work, they would go to work, and you did an honest job, and then, you know, you got rewarded, and, you know, the employees and the employer, there's a certain kind of respecting kind of relationship, I guess. But now we're just kind of in a place where everybody just kind of gets whatever they can get. And
that's it. And they want to be sure they get that vacation time, too.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what the situation. Give me that vacation time, you know. Oh, my God.
Yeah. They've got a running tally someplace of every day and every hour that you owe them.
Oh, I guarantee that. And all the times they were out sick, that does not come into play.
Yeah. No.
They just ignore that. Oh, sure, we were gone. You know, 10 days out of the month. But no, don't count that against me. Don't do that.
You know all the tricks, don't you?
I know, because they've been played on me many times.
See, there's another idea for another book by Faye Bagby, How to... to take
how
back
to scam
your business.
The employer. Oh my gosh.
So how are things? I mean, I know you mentioned that you're a person short, but are we in good shape, or?
We're in really good shape. We bought two policies this week. We'll be putting those out this next week to fill. They're both good ones. One of them is not a cancer policy.
Really?
You know, we don't ever do this. This lady is in such bad shape. When I read it, I said, I want it. Let's bid it and bid it hard. This lady went in for lap band surgery, and they just ruined her. I mean, they ruined her forever. She's been in and out of the hospital so many times, I can't even count them. They've had IVs in her arms, so you can't even use her arms for IVs now.
Really?
They've given her 12 months to live, but they messed up her stomach, her intestines. This lady is in such a bad shape. I wonder if she will live a year. When I read all the medical information, I said, I don't believe she could live a year. She's down to, I think, 100 and something pounds, 118 maybe.
Really?
But she's been in and out of the emergency room. They keep having to take her to the emergency room. She can't eat real food even. They've messed her up so bad. It has to be through a feeding tube. I mean, this is a bad situation.
Oh, my goodness. So, that sounds really extreme.
And late yesterday afternoon, we were awarded that policy. So we'll be putting that out. We've got another, a bigger policy that's good. And both of these, the premiums are like 0.30.
Really?
The premiums are so low, you wouldn't even know you had to pay a premium. That's how low they are. They're great, and the premiums are almost non-existent.
Wow, that doesn't happen
very
often.
So both of those will be going out this week.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yes, it really is. Because, in fact, we've bought four policies lately. They've got really, really cheap premiums, which is really good for the clients. That's what they need. They need those low, low premiums.
Can we say how much, and I may be catching you off guard here, can we say how much these policies are, these new ones?
One is $1 million. And one's $400,000.
Really? Is it normal to have that large of a policy with low premiums like that?
Yeah. Sometimes. It's not often. But it's a term policy. It's a good term policy with very, very small premiums.
Wow. Man.
Yeah. So that's really a blessing. And in fact, as I said, the ones I've bid in the last 2 weeks, they all had really good premiums. And sometimes they don't. And they're a really good policy. We may, you know, go to the very limit that we can go on premiums if we think it's really a great policy. Then some of them we just turn down, say, you know, we can't do that. I'm bidding on a breast cancer policy. The lady's 68 years old. She's down to 118 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
But we've had to order an extra life expectancy because this first one didn't give you information. It just says it's stage four, you know, and what chemo she's on. It doesn't look like they're even trying to operate on her. You know, usually that's the first line of defense is get the tumor out of there. It doesn't even look to me like they're doing it on her.
Really?
And so we've requested another life expectancy because we need the backup on all this to see, you know, what all they have been doing to her. But, yes, we've got several that we're bidding right now there that look to me like they're going to be really good policies. I haven't read everything on them yet, but we are doing our research on those right now.
When you have to, when you decide to go ahead and, you know, get a second LE, what happens? Does somebody go in and re-examine, or do they? How does that work?
Well, we ask another company to look at her. We say, would you look at this and give us your opinion? You know, and tell us everything that's really happened to her. We don't want the short version. We want the long version of everything that's happened to that lady. So we should get that. They've ordered it. And we probably won't have that one for 2 weeks. It'll probably take 2 weeks to get that. But at least we'll know more about it. You know, if you get one, it just says she has stage four breast cancer. That's not good enough. We want to know how much treatment she's had, what the doctor's prognosis is. Are we going to do surgery on her? Or are they just going to try to keep her comfortable? You know, we need the whole scoop on it. We need to know everything that's happened to that lady.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was 68, you know.
Wow, and, that's really young.
Yeah, and so they just didn't give us everything we needed. So that one, we've sent for more information. But we're bidding three other policies right now. They have good premiums. They look like they'll be good. I won't know for sure, you know, till middle of the week. But the other two we're going to be filling right away.
Wow, that is fantastic.
It is. And with low premiums, everybody will jump on these.
Yeah, I imagine there's probably already a big line out the door, in theoretically speaking, to get in these.
Yes, I think there will be. Because like one of our doctors said this week that has accounts with us, he said, I want to be fully invested. Yeah, you know, he said, you know, put me in policies. I do not want to sit there with cash in my account.
Yeah.
So we got him filled up. But lots of times, you know, we'd had so many people calling, you know, I need to be in a policy. Why am I not in one? And, you know, we were having that dry spell, and now it looks like everything is back to normal, and we'll be getting a lot of policies out as soon as we can.
Jeez, it almost sounds like things are maybe even ahead of normal at this point.
Well, they're looking good. I don't want to jinx it. Things are looking very good.
Gotcha.
You know, we can go from a high to a low sometimes. You know, we're just up in the air. Everything's going good, then right down the trail.
Well, superstitious, are you?
Yes, I am. I don't know why, but... you know, don't ever brag about it. If you ever brag, it just goes to pot.
It does. That's the truth.
That is true. Oh my gosh.
So when you're in a situation like this, is there a noticeable turnaround for like the second half of the year? Because I know that things have been going a whole lot better. And so, you know, like you said, I don't want to jinx it, but, you know, is there like a noticeable trend, or is it just kind of like happens to be just the way it's going, or what do you...
Well, we got really busy this week. We started getting lots of policies to look at, so we're working a lot of policies right now, you know, and, you know, we weren't getting this many, and then all of a sudden, you know, like on Thursday, we started getting all these policies in to look at and to evaluate. So we're doing that right now. We've got a lot of policies on my desk that I'm looking at to see, you know, which ones we're going to bid. So I think that'll turn out real well.
So there could very well be even more policies. Like by the time we talk next weekend, there could be a bigger
we hope so. We hope we've got three or four more by then. I think we will have three or four more by then.
Wow. So how, when you say you have a lot of policies on your desk right now, how, and like next weekend, you know, you may have like three or four of them. What, how many, because they, I'm trying to figure out like how, what's the density? So like, I know in sales, they say you have to knock on 100 doors to get one sale. So how many policies do you look at in order to get like three or four extras? Are you looking at like 10
well,
or 20?
Well, I'm looking at five or six right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm evaluating five or six right now. And that takes a little bit of time to see, you know, if these are the ones we want.
You know, and I was kind of surprised. I think it was last weekend we were talking about, you know, what all it takes and how, you know, the detail that that you go into for each policy when you're thinking about bidding on it. And it's shocking to know how much detail you actually have. I know we talk about it being an informed policy, an informed investment all the time, but I guess we didn't realize until like last week that it takes like a long time to actually go through these and then, you know, call and research and then get more information. And it really is a very meticulous process, maybe. Would that be a good way to describe it?
I think so, because lots of times we call for all the meds on it. And if we call for those, that's 100 pages we have to read.
What?
On one policy. Yeah, if we call for all the medical backup, and if we want to read all that, then we've got to go and look at each time they went to the hospital, when they went to the doctor, what they said, what the report was, what the lab showed, what the lab work was, all that. And all that's available for us to look at.
Wow. Yeah, and it could be 100 pages?
Oh, yeah, it could be 100 pages, no doubt.
Wow. I had no idea.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. So we have to go through all that and see what each doctor said. Okay, when you went today, what was the prognosis for today? You know, did they say it's spreading? This is what we think we can do. Did they do treatment? And if he went in, what treatment did they do? Were they doing chemo? Have they already done surgery? You know, we talk about pancreatic cancer a lot. Pancreatic cancer has two ways. If they can do the surgery, did they go all the way? Sometimes they have to stop, and they can't complete it.
Mm.
So you need to know, did they complete it? Did they do a resection, or did they do a partial resection? And usually the reports will tell us if they were successful in doing a whole resection, did they stop, or were they unable to do any resection? That's the one thing about pancreatic cancer. They always tell us if the cancer's right up to that line, they will not operate. If it's not, they will try.
Yeah, I know that you've said in the past that there's that fine line where they can get things, and then there's a place where they have to stop and kind of back out, I guess.
That's right. So, and they will tell us in that report, you know, if they were able to. And I read a report on a person yesterday with brain cancer, and it said they were unable to resect the whole thing. In other words, when they got in there in their head, they got to a certain point and said, uh-oh, we can't get all of it, you know.
Oh,
we can't go any farther. So then it's a matter of how long are they going to live when they know darn well they didn't take all the tumor out. They couldn't get that far in. So, you know, you just have to read all that and make a determination from what you've read as to where it's going.
Wow. I know that there's just so much detail that can go into these things, and I'm trying to think of some other kind of investment where you have this much information going into it, not only the information about the actual investment itself, but then you also have things like, you know, the stuff that you talk about all the time, the financial side of it. It's just like, you know what you're going to make, you know, when you know, approximately when, you know, it's expected to mature and people will get paid. And then there's a wealth of information. And I don't know that maybe you have more knowledge to it than I do, but I can't think of any other investment there that you can get this much information. I mean, just that alone is a big deal.
It is, because you've got an awful lot of information about them. You know when the cancer started, you know all the treatment they've had, and you know what the opinion of the doctors are. And maybe you have more than one opinion on more than one doctor, too. So you've got to read all that. You've got to study it and see what they say.
Have you ever had a situation where it looks good on the outside? You know, you start to look at it and it says, oh, wow, this has all the major things that we look for. Check, 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 check. And then you start getting into it, start getting into, you know, several pages in. And then it's like, uh-oh, there's some other aspects here that, you know, are not, you know, clear on the outside in like the summary version of it. And you start getting deeper and you say, no, this is just not going to work out. Has anything like that ever happened?
That happens a lot.
Really?
It looks really good when I start reading it on the top page. Time I get to the second page, it may not look as good. So they may say, oh, Quinn, 18, this cancer started. And it leads you through whatever they've done, 18, 19, 20. And then it says, oh, this person is doing so well. And you go, uh-oh, they're doing so well?
Oh, no.
So if it says that, you're in trouble.
Wow. So it really does pay to read every single word on every single page.
That's
digest
right.
It.
Every single word.
Wow. So there's no glossing over anything.
No. And then I was reading one the other day, and I'd studied it, and I called and told them I was going to turn it down. And they said, Faye, did you see that last little paragraph there?
Mm.
And I said, no, I must have missed it. And they said, go back and read that again. And when I did, then I found out the cancer was not gone. He had more than one kind of cancer. One kind of cancer, there was no progression. And that's what I had looked at, and I thought they meant the whole cancer was no progression, but they meant just the liver.
Mm.
The other cancer was still active, was still there, and that was what was... What we have to go with is that other cancer, not the liver cancer.
So it was a little bit vague. It needed a little bit more investigation to it.
Yeah, it needed more clarification.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man. And everybody, any policy that comes across your desk and that you bid on and you get awarded and investors want in, they can see any and all of this. I'm sure probably many of them don't. They don't need to, but they can if they wanted to, right?
They can. They always have the same life expectancy that I have in my hands.
Mm.
So we send that out to them. We tell them, here it is. We tell them what the premiums are if it goes over. We tell them what the profit is. Because remember, it's 1% a month. So if it's 12 months, it's 12%. If it's 24 months, it's 24%. So, you know, when it's 30 or 36, they've made quite a bit of money. Yeah. You know?
Is this a good time for new investors to come on board still? Because I know you had an influx for a while.
I think it's a great time to come on board because a lot of people are retiring out here. A lot of them are tired. I think they're just tired, period. A lot of people are retiring. They're going to take their money out of that 401k because you can't leave it there once you retire. A lot of people are bringing us their 401k money. A lot of people are selling their business. The people that are selling their businesses bring this, you know, a large sum of money to invest for them. And then, of course, our referrals, you know, the people that have money with us are referring us every day to someone else. So they give us referrals. Those people come and put their money with us. And it's, as I said, it's all from word of mouth, somebody that's happy with us.
You know, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up because you've said for a very long time that a lot of your investors are people who have recommended somebody else, whether it's a friend, a family member, a coworker, a neighbor, something like that. And people don't stick their neck out and recommend something unless they've actually had a great experience for themselves. They just don't do that. And that really speaks speaks volumes to what's going on consistently, really across the board, to have people go ahead and make that recommendation. That's a big deal.
Well, it's because they're happy. If they like us, they're going to tell somebody. So we appreciate that a lot, that our clients that have been with us a long time, they recommend someone all the time. And somebody will come in and say, well, you know, at work, you know, over here at the oil company where I work, these people recommended you. So that's always appreciated. And we know what they've made. You know, we see their portfolios. So we know, you know, that they've had a good return. And every year or every 2 years, you know, they've had some good policies that matured.
Is it about, which do you think is more important? Is the investment, is it about getting ready for retirement or just growing your wealth, even if you took retirement out of the picture altogether? Which way, and not that it really matters, I suppose, but as far as, you know, where people are in the spectrum of life?
I think the first point is getting ready for retirement. That's what everybody in America is driving toward. What year can I retire? And now they're retiring at 60. I mean, out here, people are tired of working. They just say, I'm going to hang it up. They're 60 years old,
yeah,
and they're retiring. So that's the first thing. The other is, will I have enough money to retire? And let's look at it. What can Faye do with my money? So the other thing is not only retirement, but income.
Mm.
So that's the second thing. Can we get enough income to make them happy? So that's the most important thing, is the income for life.
When you say income, and I know there's some terminology going on here, but when you say income, is it possible that, and you may already have investors that do this, I don't know, I'm just kind of throwing this out there, but is it possible to be so diverse in life settlements and have enough investments out there? And since the policies are so good, you are talking about, you know, short returns and short, and not short returns, but, you know, quickly, like 12, 14, 18, 20, 24 months, things like that. Is it possible to be a full-time investor and not have to work, like with a job?
I have a lot of people that have retired with us. A lot of people have retired in the last 2 or 3 years.
And even if they didn't retire, they just kind of like this becomes their job. At, like, say, 55.
They're relaxing in retirement, but they've got all these policies to give them income, okay? And then remember, a lot of times when people retire, we hold back $100,000 or $150,000 where they'll be sure and have income to start with, where that if the policies don't mature for 2 years, they're okay.
Yeah.
Because they've got income.
Wow.
And then we've got some people that did it differently. I had some people that took out an annuity for part of it, where next year they'll start taking the cash out of their annuity, like 10% a year, and then they've got their life settlements for their interest. So, you know, you can do it two or three ways. Most people just do their life settlement, and we hold back. If they're going to go ahead and retire, we're going to hold back enough cash where they always have a certain amount of cash. And I've told this story before. We have one client. When he retired 4 or 5 years ago, he said, I want $200,000 cash in my account at all times.
Oh, wow.
So we have kept that. We invest his money up to that $200,000. And we've tried to leave that $200,000 in there at all times. And sometimes he's needed part of it. He bought a farm. He needed part of it for that. And I think he's done several other things and needed pay. And he owed the IRS. So he had to have enough money to pay his taxes out of it.
Hmm.
So you always want to keep some cash in your account once you retire. You've got to do that.
So that people have access to it on a daily basis.
That's right. You don't want to have every dime tied up and not have cash.
What about the planning for for retirement? So, you know, yes, I mean, obviously people want to have, you know, cash that they can access at any time. They still want to have, you know, cash or tied up in investments, so they're still growing some money for the future. But what about other things that people need to be prepared for? Traveling, emergencies, anything like that? How does all that come into play when planning for retirement?
Well, we always tell people, do you have enough emergency money? Do you have this extra? They always say, Faye, I've got some money in some other accounts, and I've had this a lot. They say, no, don't worry about it. I've got this other money in this other account for my emergency fund. But we always ask them, do you have emergency money? Everybody on planet Earth has to have emergency money. If you don't, then you can't do this with us because you've got to have extra money.
So people really need to have several different, resources, maybe it would be the way
Well, at least two resources. You need an account that has your emergency money, if it's 25, if it's 50,000, whatever you think you might need an emergency for. You need 25 to 50,000 cash dollars somewhere with us or in your regular bank, okay? So you need that. Then you can invest, do whatever you need to do, but you always need that emergency money.
It's been a while since we've talked about, you know, potential emergencies and things that people, you know, should be ready for and plan for in advance as much as possible. You can't always plan for an emergency, but you can at least plan to somewhat be ready. What types of emergencies do people not necessarily think about ahead of time that maybe you remind them that this could happen, you know, things they need to be ready for?
If you had an accident, that's you're not prepared because you weren't expecting it. Different things like that. An illness, whether it's a short-term illness or long-term, you have to be prepared for that. I always ask people if they retire from a big company, are you taking your health insurance with you? Or did they not allow that? Most of them will let you take your group policy. It costs a lot more, but you can do it on an individual basis. And most people do have group insurance. So, you know, we don't worry about them if they have group insurance. If they don't, then we say, okay, you've got to have 25 to 50,000 in the bank for an emergency.
It sounds like all these things kind of add up really quickly, and if people are prepared on the front end, it shouldn't be a problem, I think.
That's right, and you always want to do it in advance. You don't want to wait till you're halfway through the game and then say, oh, you know, I'm not prepared.
Do you run into stories where people aren't necessarily that kind of caught off guard, say?
I've had people come to my office and say, well, you know, I made some bad investments. I've done all this. All I've got is $150,000. They're not near ready to retire. And like I say, I tell them, you know, it's going to take 7 or 8 years to get you back where you were because you made mistakes. I've had people went out here and went into businesses and started drawing their IRA money out, started drawing it out. Taking cash out of the bank to keep this whole business going. And when I told them they're fixing to go broke, they didn't like it.
Shocking.
It was shocking. I told them the truth. I said, let me tell you something. You've used almost all the cash you've got for this business that's not making any money. And now you want to use your wife's IRA as a final deal. She's got $200,000 in her IRA. You plan to take that out and throw it in, too. I go, oh, my gosh.
Consistently draining resources with no return.
And then the wife was going to give him the money because she's married to him. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. Worst thing you could do in the whole wide world. You better save that back because y'all are going to need that money. I guarantee it. Then I lost track of them. I don't know whatever happened, but I'll bet you $20 they're not still in business.
Probably not.
No, because it was bleeding money fast.
So if people are in that kind of a situation, and I know with the last year and a half, all kinds of weird things have happened that maybe we haven't seen before. Do you find many people in those kinds of situations can easily turn around? It just maybe takes discipline or planning or something like that. Is it?
It would take a lot of discipline to make it work. Yes, it would take a lot of discipline to make it work. Now, we have a lot of people that when they came to us, they were not, this is several years ago, they were not accredited. But now they are accredited. They've done well enough. Now they're on the accredited side, thank goodness.
So
that's really good. If you can start out non-accredited, back when we allowed non-accredited, and now they are accredited. Now they're on the other side of the ledger.
That is one of the requirements, by the way, to do a life settlement. You do have to be accredited.
You have to be accredited. You have to make $200,000 or you have to be worth $1 million without your house.
All right.
And that's easy. $200,000 a year, which is not a lot, or $1 million without your house.
Okay. And so anybody who is not, how do they usually get to that threshold? Do they is it like through investments or
through either their investments have got to come up, they inherited some money, or they're making more money.
Mm.
You
okay.
know? And several of these people, a couple of guys at least, they're now worth $1 million.
And they
weren't when we started out. And I think we sent out a survey and said, you know, where are you at now?
Okay. It almost sounds like, and you can probably, you'll probably need to correct this, but it sounds like, you know, people who are kind of starting maybe behind the eight ball, maybe they're not accredited, but they're trying to get to a place. Once they do the initial hard, quote unquote, hard part at the beginning, they get accredited. Once they cross that line, it sounds like things get a lot easier because you are in a life settlement. It doesn't take a whole lot of maintenance. People don't have to do a whole lot. It's basically mailbox money. You set it and forget it and just wait for policies to mature and collect the return on investment. Is that about inaccurate?
That's right. It's not an active investment. You don't have to do anything every day. You don't have to check it. Remember, it's in a life insurance policy. The safest thing I know is a life insurance policy. And I might be wrong, but I don't think so. Everybody I know understands a life insurance policy. We are simply buying life insurance policies from people that have stage 4 cancer. So we know that they're going to have a short lifespan, and that's what we're trying to do, is buy those policies, turn it around for our clients where they can make a good return on their money, and to do it over and over.
Yeah, and that is consistent. Consistency is the key. Consistency and diversity, is that right?
Diversity is first, always. You've got to be diversified. You can't have one policy, or you can't just say, I'm going to sit here, I've got 4 or 5 policies, I'm not going to invest anymore. I'm just going to leave the other in cash. In my opinion, you've got to stay fully invested and in order to make the money.
Okay.
That's just my personal opinion.
All right. Well, I mean, you've got numbers to back it up. So it sounds like, you know, you've got plenty of historical data that suggests that really is the most profitable way. I mean, it does make sense. So it seems like a fairly easy process, a fairly non-involved thing. You know, like you said, people don't have to do anything. They don't have to get up in the middle of the night, you know, and check their portfolio, see if they have anything left. It's literally as simple as, you know, you invest and then just wait for the policy to mature. They put the money in your account when it does, and then you reinvest, and that's really kind of how it works over a long period of time, I think.
That's right.
And when I say long period, I don't necessarily mean like 40 years, but it, you know, it does take, what did you say, 7 years to double your...
It's going to take 7 or 8 years to double your money.
Okay.
And a lot of people that started out, I know some people that started out with about $300,000. And I think their portfolio is now at $2 million.
Really?
It's taken a number of years to do that. But we were consistent. We were reinvesting all the time, reinvesting. I don't know how many maturities they've had. I should go back and look. But they've had a lot of maturities.
Jeez, Louise. That gives me goosebumps to hear that. Starting at like $300,000.
Remember, they, and I don't know how much their total investment was and how much is profit. But I know they kept investing money and then kept making a profit.
Wow. That'll give you a big old glass of reality juice right there of the
right.
potential.
It will.
Jeez. That's amazing. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, and your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Father's Day.
Of course.
Father's Day, June 20th.
Of course. I should have known.
You should have remembered Father's Day.
Clearly
An
I did.
An important date for everybody.
I'm in a lot of trouble.
That's right. Do you remember when Father's Day was first started?
1956.
1910.
That's what I meant.
and over the years, a lot of presidents, they would recognize it, but they wouldn't do anything about it. They talk about Woodrow Wilson, Calvin Coolidge. All of them recognized it. But it wasn't until 1970 that Congress passed a resolution authorizing the president to designate the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. Took till 1970.
Really?
I mean, that is just so ridiculous. You know, I just can't imagine.
It seems like it takes a long time to get these things passed and recognized.
I think that's it. You know, they talked about it, thought about it, but that's as far as it go. And it was just once a year they thought about it, so it didn't matter. Now then, what do you think still is the number one gift for a father?
Food.
No. The children still want to give a tie. And they asked fathers, what would you like more than anything else? They said, to spend the day with my kids.
Oh.
It doesn't matter if the kids are little, medium, or if they're grown. They just want to see their smiling faces and, like you say, have dinner with them.
So they don't actually want the tie, but they're going to take it anyway.
It's one of those things. Be prepared. You're going to get this whether you want it or not. But now I came up with the perfect gifts for fathers.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
Oh, yeah, Faye has her own list.
Oh, my. All right, this
as
will be
usual.
Good. Of course.
Okay, the first one is the Dodow. Are you familiar with it?
I feel like you've mentioned it before, but I don't remember.
I talked about it before. The little Dodow is the deal that is, if a father is tired, he can't get to sleep, you give him the Dodow. It will put him to sleep. That's what it's for. I gave my son one for Christmas. I love them. Then you've got the Tiki Tunes. This is a cool deal. Like if a father's out barbecuing, he's out there by himself, the kids, everybody's in the house, this will give you music while you're barbecuing.
Really? What is it? Tiki Tunes?
Uh-huh. Tiki Tunes. It has a little speaker type deal. It's got high quality sound. It's got LED light flickers.
Oh, I mean, really?
You know, yeah. So it's really, I think, a great gift.
See, once you start getting into high-quality sound and LED lights, now you kicked it up a notch. This is much
yes.
more than it used to be.
Okay, now this is my favorite of everything I found.
Right.
Okay, and every dad hates to see the check engine light come on, right?
Oh, yes.
You don't know what in the heck is wrong with your car. You're driving down the freeway, the light comes on, it upsets you. They have a little gadget. It's called FIXD.
FIXD.
It's like a little pocket mechanic.
Really?
It will tell you exactly what's wrong and why the light is on.
Really?
You don't even have to go to a mechanic. This will diagnose it right away.
That's amazing.
It's an amazing thing. I recommend it to everybody to get the dad one. Hey, I want one, and I'm a mommy. I mean, you know.
You realize now you're going to get like 20 of them in the mail, right?
I know. But this device is so unique. It'll tell you exactly what's wrong. It'll diagnose it without you having to go to some mechanic that's going to tell you 15 ways from Sunday, okay?
Now that sounds cool.
I think it's a cool, cool deal. Then the new thing on the market is called a flip fork. It has a meat tenderizer on it. It's got a bottle opener on it. It's got a spatula, a fork, and it's got a sharp knife on one side. All in one fork. It's called the flip fork.
Really? It's
and
almost...
Every father, they love to barbecue, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's a really unique gift.
That's amazing. It almost sounds like the Swiss Army knife of barbecuing.
Yes, and then the next one is the Magnet Pal. It's this great magnet to hang everything on the wall in the garage for you. You'll put your keys. You can put a flashlight up there. There's so many things with this Magnet Pal that you can use.
Really? And you just...
Yeah, I love that idea.
Wow.
You know, all these cool gifts, I think, are just, you know... Now, let's say you've got an older father, and he's got asthma, or he's got emphysema, he's got all this. It's called Air Physo.
Really?
And it helps you to breathe, yes. It uses this pressure. It releases everything from your airways. If you're an older gentleman, it'll improve your breathing tremendously. So I think that is a real good one for an older father.
What's it, Air FISO? Is that what that's called?
Air FISO.
Okay, write that down.
Okay, and then if you're looking for a convenient gift, the Go Donut.
Ooh, anything with the word donut in it, this is going to be a winner.
It's a universal stand. It works with all types of phones and tablets. You just place them to one of the six available grooves and adjust as necessary. And you can take it, toss it in your pocket, and be on your way.
Really? See, that's not at all what I was expecting with the word donut. But it is electronic-based, and any kind of electronic gadgets like this is really, really cool for any father.
And it won't slip, it won't slide, it won't fall. You know, so that I think that's, you know, so really great.
That might be my favorite so far. I love it.
Okay. Now then, Bondic.
Bondic.
And this is one of the best ones. If this is an adhesive you can use on anything. No job is too hard for it. It's all liquid bonder. If you've got plumbing or broken eyeglasses, it doesn't matter what it is. And it dries in 4 seconds.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Now, that sounds like a miracle of science right there.
It is. So, I've seen it. It works. It's fast. So, that's another real cool gadget.
I have people, and I think that should have these things, and then I'm thinking I may just get them for myself.
Now then, let's talk about computers. Computers get old. They aren't always equipped with the latest tech, which we need. So Dad could lose some of his important documents and memories.
Yeah.
Okay? But we're going to call it Extra PC. It's a powerful flash drive plugged right into your older computer using your USB port. It replaces the old operating system with a new blasting fast OS that Dad will love. And it won't mess with any of your documents. It's just going to speed everything up, do some correction on an old computer where you don't have to buy a new one.
Really? Is this?
Yes.
I didn't even know this was a thing. Really?
It's called Extra PC. It's a powerful flash drive. Just plugs into your old computer.
Wow. Now this is you speak of my language here, and man, this is exciting. I did not know that this was even a possibility.
See? I mean, I'm into the latest gadgets.
Yeah, you really are. You talk about things that I didn't even know existed. Wow.
That's what you need. Okay. Now then we've got the IQ. EYEQUE.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Now, let's say your dad wears glasses or simply has his vision checked regularly. It's one of the best Father's Day gifts. You don't need appointments. You just load the IQ, and it'll do everything for you. It's going to help your eyes. It's like having an optometrist at home.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting.
It's called IQ.
E-Y-E-Q.
E-Y-E-Q-U-E.
Q-U-E.
It's a great idea for a father that wears glasses.
All right. I'm writing that down as well because that sounds pretty amazing.
Okay. Now then, we've got another one. And this is not high tech. Okay, how many people wake up in the morning, the bed sheets have slipped off the bed entirely?
Oh, it happens all the time.
Okay, this is a thing of the past. What you're going to buy is the bed scrunchie. Yeah, the bed scrunchie is what you have to have. It clips to the edge of your bed sheets.
Really?
And is tucked beneath the mattress, nice and secure. Bed sheets will never slide off again. It's a 5-star appearance deal. It fits on every type of bed, small, large. You can set it up in seconds. It's a gift that every dad is going to love.
The bed scrunchie?
A bed scrunchie. It just clips to the edge of your bed sheets. It tucks beneath the mattress. You will never have sheets on the floor again.
Oh, that's amazing. I've needed this for a long time.
Now, the next one is the neck hammock.
Ooh, this sounds cool.
This is. Anybody that's got a stiff neck, you want to get the neck hammock.
Hmm. Ugh. I can only imagine it right now.
You can use it from any door. It'll stretch the neck. It provides pain relief under 10 minutes.
Wait a minute. You can use it from any door?
Yes.
How does this work?
It can be installed in literally seconds on any door frame, from the office to the bedroom, anywhere.
Really? And it stretches your neck?
It stretches your neck, and it will give you pain relief in under 10 minutes.
Really?
Like if your neck is really bad, you need this.
See, at first I was I thought we were talking about one of those things that give you like at the airport on the airplane for like long travels, but this is different.
It will improve your circulation and it will improve your posture.
Wow. Cool.
So what about that?
Yeah. I didn't know you could do that at home. I thought you had to pay hundreds and thousands of dollars to go to the doctor for this. This is amazing.
Yeah. Now here's another good choice. Everybody loses everything still. Your keys, your wallet, your smartphone. It takes. I spend a lot of time trying to find everything. So what you need is the XY Find It. It's FINDIT.
Okay.
It's a coin-sized device that it'll attach to anything it pairs with. So when things go missing, all Dad has to do, look it up on his app, and it'll tell you exactly where it's at.
Unless you lose your phone. If you lose your phone, then you can't get to the app.
Well, maybe you're using it on your computer.
Oh, see?
Than your phone.
Yeah, you had to outsmart me, didn't you?
Yeah. It pairs with the app. When things go missing, all Dad has to do, run, look it up, and it'll tell you where it's at. And you don't spend an hour searching for your lost phone, your lost glasses, your wallet, whatever it is that you're losing all the time.
We do. We lose things all the time. What's this called? This is a big one.
It is. It's called XY Find It.
XY Find It. Gotcha.
It is a coin-sized device that will attach to anything. And then you just pair it up with your app. And then if something goes missing, you look it up on your computer and say, okay, where is that little devil? It'll tell you where it's at.
This is. I wish I had this 20 years ago. This sounds amazing.
Well, yeah. But look at all the smart kids who probably designed this.
That's
probably
true.
Some 18-year-old did it. But I think it's one of the best finds on here because I'm losing things all the time, and so I want to get one immediately.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, geez. Whether it's keys or phones or, you know, glasses or whatever. And they kept it so small, too. That was genius.
Yeah, this is the size of a coin.
XY Find It. Got it. I got it. I'm gonna have to Google this and get this myself now. This is amazing.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the things I've thought of are all high-tech. They're things of the moment that people can use. It'll change their life, make it a lot better, you know, and it keep you from being grouchy when you can't find things.
Keep you from being grouchy.
Let me tell you something. When I can't find something, I'm so frustrated for 30 minutes, you know, I lose an extra 30 minutes looking for it. Oh, man. And that is a tough deal. You know, you've got an appointment, you know what time you've got to be there, and you can't find the phone. You know, gosh.
I think you've just found a whole new way to remarket this.
Oh, me. And, you know, sometimes little children will take your phone and they forget where they put it. You know?
I know. They'll play hide and seek, and then they're like, oh, I don't remember where I actually put it.
I know. They'll say, we don't know what we did with it. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, this is amazing. That's probably the best one on the whole list right there.
Yes, I think it is number one, really. But some of the others, if we try them, I think we're going to love them. I think they're just going to make our life a lot more pleasant. And I love every one of these. They're all high-tech. They work very efficiently.
You know, you are really, really good at staying on top of and ahead of the curve on a lot of these electronic doodads for Dad, whether it's, you know, Father's Day or Christmas. I know you've got a list for both holidays, and it's just, I mean, you come out with things that I never even knew half of these things even existed or they were even possible.
Well, you know, I do love to buy the latest. I'm always buying the latest gadgets.
Yeah.
I love to buy these gadgets and then see if they work. The only things that don't work is that cheap stuff from Amazon for the eggs. You might as well just not order that, folks. That ain't going to work. Oh, my gosh. Never buy little plastic gadgets, I'll just tell you.
Oh, boy.
Those don't work.
Oh, man. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby, but your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So I think our takeaway today is Faye Bagby is not interested in buying or getting plastic trinkets.
No plastic. Kick it out, please.
Oh, boy. All right. before we wrap things up, we always talk about the risks involved with a life settlement because it is a wonderful, fantastic investment that tons of people have made money at. And like you said earlier, you know, people can get all this information on the website at AmericanFinancialMidland.com. See what kind of money people have made. But there are three things that people need to know as they go in. So what is the first risk that people need to know about?
The greatest risk is it can go over, and a lot of them do. And you have to be prepared for that. You have to be prepared to pay the premium. It will also reduce your profit. So you need to know that they can go over. A lot of them do go over, the older ones that we have especially. So the second risk is it's not liquid till the person dies. When they pass away, then you get paid every time. You do not get paid up front. You get paid on the end. When that person passes away, that's when the insurance company pays the claim, and it makes sense. The insurance company pays the claim, the money goes to the Nevada Trust, and they pay it out.
Okay.
And then the third risk is if a life insurance company ever got in trouble, went under. And anymore, they have so much income, somebody would buy them before they ever went under. So that's a good thing to know.
So people, I guess when they're thinking about, you know, making changes, maybe they've been in the stock market for a number of years, they're looking at their portfolio, they're reexamining things and saying, you know, look, we're just not making the money that we either thought we had, because I think sometimes people look at that and they think they're doing well. They actually look at their numbers and like, ooh, this is terrible.
I didn't make as much as I thought.
Yeah. And so it causes people to think. And so, you know, when they're looking for new alternatives, you know, what are some of the greatest things about a life settlement? You know, I know it's well informed, and I know that the policies are short. Would those be two of the greatest, or is there?
Well, I like the fact that they know in advance what they're going to make. You don't know that in the stock market. You don't have any clue. On this, you know going in that it's a set rate. You're going to make a set rate. You're going to make 24 or 12 or 18. You know that going in. You know if it goes over what the premiums are. You know all the facts. That's what I like. We've given you all the facts, including the life expectancy up front. So you know your risk and you know your profit. That's the greatest thing.
Yeah. No guessing. It's all based on
data.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. All right. And I know you talked about that you've got several in the works that you're bidding on and things like that. So there's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of opportunity coming up in the next several weeks for people to get into. So to get started, people need to come and talk to you first, right?
They need to come, make an appointment, tell us how much they want to put in, what they want to do, if it's an IRA, if it's a joint account, you know, whatever kind it is. If it's inherited, we need to know. And we'll take it from there.
All right. So one last time, Faye, for people to make an appointment, come talk to you and get the ball rolling and start making some serious money, what is the number they need to call?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Babe Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.